Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris. 10 to 2 on 670.
I think the biggest question isn't just what are the Bulls going to do with their draft pick at 12. It really is the case of they could definitely draft for need here, and I would be okay with it.
What about Kaman Malua from Duke?
With the 10th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Kaman Malua.
Kasperis Jakachonis from the Illini is a big discussion.
With the 20th pick, the Miami Heat select Kasperis Jakachonis.
Sam Smith, who always puts out worthy content, mentioned Derek Queen from Maryland, Asa Newell from Georgia, Danny Wolf from Michigan, Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, and a name that has popped up recently from France, Yoann Berenger. So let's hear what Casey Johnson had to say on the Fast Break on CHSN about what he thinks happens at 12.
And the two names that I'm hearing the most linked to the Bulls are Colin Murray-Boyle and Noah Essengue, the French prospect.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls select Noah Essengue from Saint-Jean-du-Bray, France.
And Noah Essengue, the French prospect.
You're right.
Who the hell is that?
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Happy day two of the NBA draft. That's a thing now. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris on the Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our video producers are Brian Kirch and Connor O'Donnell. You can also text us on the text line 312-644-6767. And as we take a look at what happened last night in the NBA draft, where, according to Robbie Triano's Open, I talk 1.5 times faster than I do in real life.
Hey, we got production. We got to get it moving. So we got more time to talk, right? That's the goal, right?
Casey Johnson talked at one speed.
Oh.
But
didn't notice that.
We go through the list of names, and we were all trying to figure out who the Bulls were going to pick. But Casey Johnson, yet again, very similar to how the Bulls ended up drafting Patrick Williams, where Casey said, I would say within a 48-hour of the NBA draft that year, he mentions Patrick Williams, and then lo and behold, who is it? Same thing happens with Noah Essengue out of France, who we also know plays in the German league and is missing his championship game today. Poor Ray had to find that out the hard way as we're trying to get hold from somebody on his team. But regardless, that had been discussed. Essengue is now a Bull. And I, when I grade this pick or look at it, the way I see it is, it's really hard to say that AK Mark Eversley, Arturis Karnišovas, that they don't have a type. When you consider the film on Essengue and how he gets through the lane, you see why they like his length. You see why they like how he can get down the court very easily. You see how he can draw contact. I think that's been a big compliment as to what the observers of Essengue really like about his game. But once again, I think they saw that they hit in a way that is positive for them when it came to Modest Bouzelis. And I feel of the same vein when it comes to this decision that they made.
That means you're encouraged, right? That means you feel like there's something there and you're hoping they can cultivate it, correct?
I think I want to know first whether or not I exhibit any emotion about it, what their thought process is, so I at least know what the thought process is.
I understand the thought process. The process is we have time. We are clearly under contract for more years than our last contract Like, that's been extended in some shape, form, or fashion.
Right.
And because we have more time, we can take a longer view. And they've said, we're going to do this the opposite way of how we did it the first time. The first time, they're like, we're going to team up some superstars and go get Lonzo Ball and get DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, and we're going to put together our version of a super team with the trade for Nikola Vucevic. But this time, they're like, all right, we're going to build this thing from the ground up. And when you talk about building things from the ground up, that means going through the draft. Usually when you build things from the ground up, going through the draft, you start at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
They're not starting at the top of the draft. They're starting with whatever they're left with after their push for the postseason.
And I understand that a lot of the NBA are going to tell you at this time, they're going to say, well, look at the Dallas Mavericks and look what it came down to between the Bulls and the Mavericks and that first overall pick. And
I don't
it was the
hear
coin
that.
Flip. But that is going to be the talking point. And they're going to tell you that that's the reason you shouldn't tank. Except here's my issue. Oklahoma City did. They traded away their stars. They got as many draft picks as bloody possible. And the Brooklyn Nets pretty much mimicked that pattern last night, as we saw with their four first-rounders that they had.
Crazy.
And their draft picks. And I think they were able to take some risks on some players later in the draft because of that process. So it sticks out to us. That was one of the first things I thought, though. It's not necessarily that Noah Esenge is the type. It's not necessarily the case that he reminds you of the thought process with Matas. It's not those things. It's the fact that this is somebody who you know is going to take time when you consider how old he is, the second youngest player, as you mentioned, behind Cooper Flagg by 3 days. But also, because it is a time thing, and because they're talking to us about development, that gives you a very good indication of how long they think they're going to be here.
I think looking at him and understanding that, yes, he is extremely athletic, talented, his strongest offensive trait right now is I'm very fast and long and can finish at the rim. That's Noah Esenge's claim to fame as far as offense. I can draw contact. I can be a bowling ball downhill in the open court, which does fit the way that Billy Donovan and the Bulls finally are getting to play, as we saw demonstrated last year. The Pacers are probably the closest thing to what they are as far as we're going to be running forever. And if guess what?
Forever.
Yeah, we're going to be running.
Forever.
When you look back at how they finished the season with 15 wins in the last 20 games, it's because a lot of the times they just kept running. And by the fourth quarter, you were gassed.
And that is the Bulls' motto, too. We heard Billy Donovan talk about that last season. And he thinks that that's why they had the success that they had in March, is because the Bulls were able to outrun teams. They were able to tire teams. That he saw it more as where the Bulls were in their process than actually who the opponents were. But that's my issue with this, is we're talking about the NBA draft and who the Bulls chose. 18-year-old Noah Esenge, which, by the way, if you speak a slight bit of French, you're like, where's the accent on the end of the E? Because it looks like Esang. But that will trip me up for a few days. So you guys just bear with me. 6'9", power forward. And again, I think when you consider this pick and what we just saw in the NBA Finals, which is also how I'm viewing it, you know, because we saw such a here's how you do things in their modern NBA Finals exhibition between two good teams for seven games. I'm going, okay, I love the tape of you being able to get down the lane with the grace of a Giannis, for example. And I don't like doing comps, so that's not really what I'm trying to say. It's just he made it look that effortless. But you're also playing in the German league for Ratio Farm. I don't know how to speak German. Ulm. Yeah, Ulm. But
just go with Ulm. That's the easy way to get through that.
I mean, it's a two-part name. It's Radio Farm. Guys, everything turns into a Latin language for me. I'm really sorry.
I couldn't pronounce it either. I don't know.
Ozzie Trapillo's name for me first was Trapillo. You know, Ratio Farm.
You know, that's where my mind goes.
Ratio Farm Ulm is Ratio Farm Ulm for me. Like, essaying.
Here's
like,
why I go with just Ulm.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Ulm is the name of the city he plays for.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the easy play.
Right. And I think
that's the way Mark Eversley pronounced it with Mullinaw this morning.
Well, and that's fair. But I say all of this to say, you see why they liked him, but you're just not going to have that kind of open space in the NBA. Like, SGA created open space for himself in the lane the entire bloody season. Then we get to the NBA Finals, and what were the Pacers able to do? They took away his space in the lane. So when I'm looking at all of this through that lens and the basketball I just saw, it's sometimes hard to make the leap. But you see initially why the tools are there for the Bulls to like, and why they feel like, based on getting modest, that they think that this is a process for them that is working.
One of the things that I take away from this is, because of how young Modest is, Noah Essengay fits his timeline. Like, when we talk about Modest's development, and, you know, there's questions, you know, technically with Essengay, they could draft and stash him if they want to.
The draft and stash term is incredible.
Well, and it's a modern way of looking at the NBA and understanding it's all about getting as many lottery tickets as you can, such as the way that the Brooklyn Nets did with the four first-round picks, and hoping somebody works out. Now, my whole thing is, the Bulls are short on lottery tickets right now. Get more lottery tickets. Because sometimes you can get lottery tickets and trade those lottery tickets to other teams, and they'll give you a player that's already fully developed and formed.
It's the NBA equivalent of trading a paperclip into a house. And that's really what has started ever since, I'd say, 10, 15 years ago in this league, is that's how you do it. You flip the picks because, as we've seen, they become more and more valuable. I want to go back to a point you made yesterday when we were talking about how valuable the picks themselves have become because of the second apron tax. So as we've seen, the rookie deals become more and more valuable, almost akin to how you see it work in the NFL. You know, that's probably the best comp I can think of right now. So that's what the rookie contracts have now become value-wise, to helping NBA teams stay under that second apron of tax. And that said, that was another thing where I'm watching the draft last night and I'm just going, oh no, they need more of these. Got any more of those draft picks? Got any more of those rookie deals? No.
Scratching your neck.
They might not even have one tonight. They might trade away tonight.
Well, that's why, overall, when I watched the draft last night, let me tell you why I was disappointed.
Yeah.
I was disappointed because not enough stuff happened. I'm not just talking about the Bulls here. I wanted the big trades. I wanted movers and shakers. Now, the difference between this year versus previous years is, with the two-night draft scenario, plenty could happen tonight to make this still an interesting draft. But to me, overall, the draft wasn't that interesting. I really want the Bulls to find a way to move off of Nikola Vucevic at minimum. And at maximum, yo, Kobe White, go help a contender win, because you ain't going to be doing it here.
How about that, by the way? That Joe Calley, who we'll have on 11, mentioned that was somebody actively being shopped yesterday. That was a new nugget for me.
It makes sense. Listen, for me, reading that tweet, that was a step in the right direction, because the old Acme, Arturis Karnišovas, Mark Eversley era would have been, oh no, he's too good, we got to hold on so we can make this push. I think they're being allowed this opportunity through no fault of their own, through no blessing of their own. They're just in the right place at the right time to be able to achieve priority number one, which we know what that is. That's fill the seats at the United Center. That is the directive. Make sure people come to the game. That's why we can't tank. We can't tank because we're worried about people not showing up at the United Center and filling up the building. But now, with this window of all these teams kind of being in disarray, a lot of teams taking a step back, some teams taking a step forward, but the middle is very middling right now in the Eastern Conference specifically. I like the idea that right now they can shop these guys, get the lottery tickets, mm-hmm. get the future draft assets, mm-hmm. and still put a team together good enough to be on the floor contending for that play-in spot.
Yesterday, we also had the segment called Whose Process Do You Trust More? And we heard Sam Presti from 2021, and then mm-hmm. we heard what Arturis Karnišovas had to say both during the season. You know, that was the comment he made during the trade deadline, which I treat as like a thesis, where he says you need 9 or 10 good players and you build around that. For this Bulls team, I'm not saying that's how you win in the NBA. I'm saying for this Bulls team, that's how you have to treat this. That's the thesis for what they're building. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get from point A to B, knowing you either have to get the first overall pick or someone close, you know, top five, in order to get a person to build your team around, or you sign everybody you possibly can. And the process was again discussed last night. Mark Eversley, the Bulls general manager, talked about the way he wants to build this Bulls team with Arturis Karnišovas. Let's listen to what he had to say first about the simple fact of this is their roster and they don't have necessarily one of those top 15 talents in the league.
internal development is the way we're going to attack that. You know, I think if you look at, you know, somebody like Matas last year, nobody thought he would finish the year he did. Now, I'm not putting any kind of undue expectations on Matas, but, you know, there's other players in this building on this team who, if they continue to develop, continue to work on a daily basis, they may get there. And we have the resources in place, the coaching staff, player development to support that.
But the mindset is still not going to be
you need as talented a top pick as you can get, and you have to do what you can to put yourself in that position.
I think we just need to continue with our internal development plan. And, you know, at some point, you're going to be able to turn that. And I don't know when that is or what that looks like. I understand where you're going, but I don't think we're going to take that path.
Okay, that was Mark Eversley talking last night after the draft. This hour, by the way, and this segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Layla.
This is Raheemy and Harris as we react to what the Bulls had to say after the draft. We've heard this soundbite multiple times now. But when I start talking about it with the other things we just mentioned,
Layla,
I can't fit the puzzle pieces together.
You can't fit the puzzle pieces together because they don't fit. First, let's start with the back end of what he said there. I can't tell you how long it's going to take to take one of these picks that we get from the middle of the first round of the NBA draft and develop them into one of those guys that Joe Cowley there, who will join us, by the way, at 11 o'clock, was talking about, into a dude, into a top-tier, all-star level, can lead you driving the bus through the playoffs to getting another Larry O'Brien trophy. He said, I can't tell you how long it's going to take to do that, but I can't tell you this. We're not going to, you know, put ourselves in an optimal position by being in the lottery and saying that is our stated goal, is to just develop young players knowing we're not going to make the playoffs this year, but we're going to have a high draft pick.
So we're getting a lot of texts at our text line, 312-644-6767. And I appreciate everybody. I think we would be taking calls if we didn't have a shorter show because we've got Cubs at 12:30. But there's a lot of questions here that I feel like we have also asked even in our meeting. Like, for example, 630, if internal development is their focus, why did you get rid of your best shooting coach in Peter Patton? I don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure that one out, too, because we saw so much development out of him working with Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White. And Kobe White has talked about it extensively, to us even, on our station.
He literally came on our show and told us how much Peter Patton has meant to him. The fact that he went to Peter Patton and said, I want to get my shot better. And Peter Patton said, no, your shot's good. He's like, I know it's good. I want it to be the best it can be.
That internal motivation, too. That wasn't coming from somebody else.
I'm going to continue to just hammer home the two requirements for me to be able to say nice and kind things about this regime. Two requirements, and they have some time before they have to fulfill them. Number one, can't sign Josh Giddey before he signs an offer sheet as a restricted free agent.
I mean, based on the Essanga pick, didn't you think that this is something that, I'm like, oh, he fits with Giddey, doesn't he? Like, that was one of the first things I thought when I saw the tape.
Number two on this, it's the two things I'm saying. Nikola Vucevic has to be moved for future assets. He cannot come to the end of his contract as a Chicago Bull and you get nothing in return. Because if you don't do those two things, it means you've learned nothing from the past 3-4 seasons.
Okay, I also want to ask you this, and I know we're up against a break, and we're going to play the other part of this, because this is a two-part answer from Mark Eversley. We're going to have to just hold it for the next segment, because I think we're working on stuff right now. And frankly, I'm working through this, trying to figure it all out. Is that, When you say that, the two pieces, how much does the Arturas Karnišovas comment about summer 2026 ring in your head? Because even when I was watching last night, I'm going, timing-wise, okay, I can see what the thought process is.
Yes.
Age-wise, you see what the thought process
Absolutely.
Is. Absolutely. Like, and again, even Cam Smith to us yesterday said, I could see Vooch getting moved yesterday. He did not. I just don't know when that contract is moving. And I also secondarily wonder if it does move, how much does that really open up for this team? Casey Johnson says this morning there's a real chance that they trade their pick tonight. They only had two picks total in this thing.
They had the 45th overall pick coming up later on tonight in the second round. Whether you draft someone, don't, draft and stash, trade the pick, You have to move Vooch for future assets.
Right.
It does not make any sense to hold on to Vooch. Vooch told you at the end of year press conference last year, I want to not waste the rest of my career on a non-contender. The Bulls, a clear non-contender.
Additionally, here we are talking about lottery tickets. And then there's the case of lottery picks. And then there's the case where you have actual players. It's almost like in some cases, did you already scratch off half the card?
I hope not. I hope not. But that could be the case. We're going to find out in the coming days because free agency will open. More moves will be made. But right now, I'm just kind of holding my breath saying, all right, what's up next, Bulls? We know the long play. What's the short play?
Well, and the Bulls are up against it because I don't see them spending a lot of money to danger themselves in some sort of tax apron situation when they lost their play-in game last year.
Championship contender. You're not even a playoff contender right now.
Right. So that's kind of where we sit with this. I mentioned the Mark Eversley comments. We heard him talk last night after the draft to Joe Calley. Joe is on with us at 11, by the way. So there's another piece of this as they talk about building this team. But when you hear it, you might find yourself asking more questions than having answers. This is Rahimi and Harris. We're talking NBA draft on The Score.
Hey, Score listeners, for all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules and good luck.
This segment is sponsored by Grand Appliance. Get unbeatable appliance savings and fast delivery on top brands like Electrolux, Frigidaire, and more during the Red, White, and Blue sale at Grand Appliance. Learn more at grandappliance.com or your local Grand showroom. That's Grand Appliance, appliance expert since 1930.
So the Donahoes invited us to dinner.
Hang on, honey. Hello?
Hi, this is Lori from First American Bank.
Whoa, honey, it's the bank. Listen to how real this AI voice sounds.
Hello?
Yes, hello. I'm calling about your First American Bank home equity line of credit application.
That is freaky.
Right? What do I press for representative?
Oh, you don't press anything. I'm a real person.
Now it's claiming to be a real person.
Wow.
Sir, along with First American Bank's best loan deals in town, we pride ourselves on providing impeccable personal service. That's why you get me, a real life specialist, to help you every step of the way with your loan. Isn't that more useful than passing you off to an artificial intelligence chatbot?
What's 2 times 2?
4.
Who created the Dewey Decimal System?
Melville Dewey.
Deep dish or thin crust?
Oh, you're not dragging me into that one.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I see him as a two-way player who can impact the game both offensively and defensively. His ability to get to the free throw line and play downhill is super intriguing to us. I think he'll be able to be a versatile wing defender. I think his game is a little bit similar to Matas in that, you know, he can face up, he can post you up, he can get out on the break. You know, his game's just very versatile.
Come on!
That was Mark Eversley after last night's first round of the NBA draft talking about Noah Esenge. That is the player that they picked at 12th overall. Thanks to everybody on the text line, by the way, for telling me how to say Radiofarm Ulm. Turns out it's not Ratio Farm.
I knew it wasn't Ratio Farm. What I did know, it was not Ratio Farm.
I mean, guys, that's how you learn. You got to ask some questions.
But also, Liv,
sometimes you're afraid to ask them.
Listen, I know we're going to continue this conversation about the Bulls and where they're going with this after making Noah Esenge the 12th overall pick in last night's draft. They have another pick tonight as it's first round, first day, second round, second day. But can I just
There's going to be no Taco Bell commercial when Nikola Jokic gets drafted this time.
Fair. The texts that are coming in and this idea that this team is going to be in playoff contention, and that's fine. My point is, trade away guys and you could still be in quote-unquote playoff contention. And what you really mean by playoff contention is you might get to the postseason. Top 10.
The postseason.
Top 10 teams get into the postseason from each conference. Two-thirds of the NBA gets to the postseason every year.
Yeah, it's like high school football now.
Depending on what state you're playing in. Yes.
Where two-thirds of the teams get in.
Let me just... A couple of texts that I want to read.
239
312-644-6767 if you want to text us. And some of you are out of pocket.
239 on the text line. That being said, the East is wide open, several eyes in the wide. With Vooch, Bulls could be up to a 4 seed.
Oh, no!
What?
No.
Did you watch any of the basketball over the last 2 months? Any of it? Any. Especially, say, the first round of the actual playoffs?
I don't think
the Bulls front office would say that.
That's a bad take.
And then 773, morning, do either of you believe the Bulls will trade Vooch? They always, that's in all caps, overvalue their players. They're probably asking too much for him and no trade will be made. That's from Ming.
Ming, I think that that's part of the issue. I think that based on past action, we know that they don't want to trade players that they value. We know that even based on simple Andre Drummond deals where they could have gotten second round picks for him and they decided to keep him until the end of the season.
I want to know if the Bulls believe that the team that they finished the season with its new additions. And remember, there's not going to be new additions unless they make trades. They're not adding a whole bunch of stuff. We heard from Cody Westerlund kind of asking about the way the roster looks now. This is kind of what the roster is going to be unless they make trades. They've got to make trades.
Because they have painted themselves into this corner, where they have said, and you heard Mark Eversley talk about how they want to develop somebody. So that eliminates free agency, right? You can take the $50 million, $75 million Supermax contracts. Not that anybody would earn a Supermax on the Bulls. That's not something currently. But even a Zach LaVine type situation. Think about the amount of years it takes as a player to earn a max contract in the league. How long that took Zach LaVine. And then on top of that, think about how many years it takes to earn a Supermax and the accolades that are involved. So that's the development side of this. So you're really talking about a long-term view here, are you not?
I think they're talking about a 3 to 5 years, maybe 6 years, because, again, Mark Eversley said, I don't know how long it's going to take to develop that guy. As we talk about the Bulls drafting Noah Essengay in the first round of the NBA draft last night and what they're looking to do going forward heading into next season. Layla, we're talking about our expectations. We're reading the texters talking about their expectations of competing for a playoff spot possibly. What about what Mark Eversley had to say on the expectation for this team now that they are where they are?
So with respect to, you know, expectations for us, it's to continue to build on what we've built. So as I mentioned earlier, we're a team in transition. And, you know, we're all about bringing in young, dynamic, athletic players who can play the style of play that we want to play. You know, and I think at the end of the day, if we continue to do that, you know, we're going to build a team that's going to compete on a yearly, nightly and yearly basis.
That is Mark Eversley that you're listening to here on Raheemy and Harris as we go through what the GM had to say, because the president of basketball operations, Arturis Karnišovas, he did not step to the mic after the first round of yesterday's draft. He did not join Mullion Hall this morning on the morning show here on 670 Score. But you got Layla and I talking about how things have gone down.
I just think that when you hear him say that, and then you hear what he said in our last segment about how they want to develop talent, but you don't want to fully tank to get it. You've painted yourself into such a tiny corner. This is such a small space that you have in the parameters to work when the NBA has shown you that that's neither way. You have to pick a lane. Like, neither one of these is a proven where you can just be in the middle of them all and make it work. Like, you have to do one of these things in order to get better.
One thing I do want to do is define tanking as I see it, what that actually means. So when I talk about the Bulls not tanking, what I'm saying is going, trading all the players that have value that you can get stuff for, and then running out your younger guys, Modest Bouzelis, Julian Phillips, I guess Dalen Terry as it is right now, and getting other supplemental parts. J. Jalen Smith could be a supplemental part because you're not going to trade him and get something of value for him right now. But guys, you can't just trade in the offseason and get draft assets for back. You let those guys run, develop. They'll struggle a lot, but they will grow. And now teams get better, such as the Oklahoma City Thunder, which won, what, 28 games a couple of years ago, like 3 years ago? So that's how you do it. You get more draft capital, and you let your young players run and run and run some more.
I feel like they've put themselves into such a tiny spot to be able to succeed. Like, keep in mind, Javon Carter just picked up his option.
Player option. Yep, yep.
So that's $6.8 million off the books. You're looking at probably giving $30 million a year to Josh Giddey because you've put yourself into the position where he's your player of need. So that's your free agent money. Vooch is still here. You get your mid-level exception if you remain in a certain spot salary-wise with your team payroll. So that gives you one more guy. But then that, as we talked about, and as Casey Johnson mentioned earlier today on The Score, you're then probably trading your draft pick. So that thereby limits, again, what you can do, your potential with this team. Dalen Terry, we're still talking about Dalen Terry in a way that I think is not fair to the team and to him, because I don't know that he is going to be a player they can develop like they did Kobe, Io, and the like. Like, I feel the same way. You're talking about Dalen Terry and Patrick Williams and Javon Carter still being on this team. You've got to develop your stars, and you can't have, say, the higher chances of getting 1 through 5 picks. It's confusing as hell to me.
I'm not even confused. I understand what they're doing. I just disagree with it vehemently. That's where I am. I'm not confused. You have stated what your goal is. You have stated what you're not willing to do. I understand it. Great text here, 847, blah, 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 mediocre, mediocre, mediocre. Yeah, we're in the speedyocre lane, as I like to call it. You know, not too hot, not too cold. This is some porridge stuff from Goldilocks we're talking about. And you know what the thing is about porridge? Whether it's hot or cold, it's still porridge. It's nasty.
It is nasty.
Porridge is nasty. That's a great point.
Porridge is
disgusting.
Like gruel to me. That's how I feel about it. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We talk about the Bulls draft. I as I try to process all of it, I also think about the roster construction. You know, we've talked a lot about how the Bulls want two-way players, but they don't have many. And so Caruso was one of them. I know he was more defensive specialist, but when you consider the offense that he had on this team, relatively speaking, he was one of their two-way guys.
The offense that he had in the finals helped keep that series where it needed to be. They were in danger of going down 3-1.
Yeah, Indiana forced Caruso to take more shots, and he didn't. He made enough to make it happen. So Caruso's gone because you traded him for Giddey.
No draft pick.
Talked about shopping Lonzo Ball extensively. You sign him to a contract. A lot of people think to be able to trade him, which I still can't entirely wrap my head around. So he's one of your two-way guys, so he's being shopped. We don't know the status of Ayodele after the injury, but he's one of your two-way guys. And then you get a guy who you think is a two-way player, but money-wise, your devotion is still to a one-way guy in Giddey, most likely, and a very one-way player in Vooch. And help me make it make sense.
Well, Vooch is on the way out. Whether it's now, whether it's trade deadline, in season.
Max, you're looking at a year.
But all they've told us is 2026. Here's what I want people to understand, because I think they understand our view very clearly now. But Mark Eversley, he's confusing sometimes in what he says. A great example from last night. Here's what he said that he has learned from watching the Indiana players as they kind of spread the ball around.
I think the thing I take away from Indiana is just their style of play. They continue to come at you over and over and over. They play fast, in spite of what the score is, what quarter it is. And I think that's kind of how we played a little bit this year. They've got a bunch of players who can play on both sides of the floor, and that's exactly what we want to build here in Chicago, is players who are versatile, both offensively and defensively. You can't hunt any of their players. Everybody can guard, everybody can defend, everybody can run, everybody can make a shot.
Do you remember when the Miami Heat effectively hunted in their play-in game against the Bulls and blew them out? Josh Giddey is not a two-way player, but you're talking about paying him a lot of money. He is a one-way player. Great offensively. No one is denying that. He can drive an offense. That's why he has value.
Right.
But the team that just won the title realized he was not going to be able to drive their offense where they needed because he would be hunted on defense. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander takes an even bigger role, steps into his MVP mode, and now you're left with a guy in Josh Giddey who, by the way, had spurts of defensive improvement last year. I'm not discounting that. But ultimately, he is a one-way player, and you just said you need all two-way players, a guy who cannot be hunted.
All of these things contradict themselves in a way to me.
That's the only way to look at it. And so, again, if they give Josh Giddey the money, I pose the question, it'll be my eternal question, once he signs that contract, which we presume he's going to sign with the Chicago Bulls, once he signs, whether it's a $150 million contract over 5 years, whatever it ends up being, Josh Giddey is the blank best player on a championship contender. You got to tell me that so I can understand where the other money goes.
Well, he was on a championship contender last year in Oklahoma City, and well, season before last now, as we look at it, but he didn't even get playoff minutes that were sufficient.
He fell out of the playoff rotation.
And that's what concerns me here. So you don't want to lose in a way that puts you in the highest likelihood of getting a 1-5 pick. Yeah, I know it came down to a coin flip when it was you and Dallas for pick number one. But at the end of the day, it didn't happen. And that's the exception, not the rule. That's not giving yourself the best chance. So we know that that's not something that they want to do. Draft picks are not as of much value to them as they are to other teams like Oklahoma City. So you've eliminated that possibility. You want to develop people, and we know your head coach does that very well, but we know that that takes many years. And you just let go a guy who was known for his development skills, and you're promoting from within.
Let's just see where the trades land. If there are trades in this offseason, maybe we revisit this discussion and have a much more positive attitude.
Give me something to believe in.
Yeah, right now, I believe that you have time. That's all I believe in, is that you have as much time as you need to do whatever it is you're going to do.
Okay, see, showed you in 4 years where they were. 4 years.
Four years ago.
Did you know what happened 4 years ago? 4 years ago, the Bulls decided to trade for Vooch, and they got DeMar DeRozan. And we had a fun first half of the season.
And then it all fell apart once Alonzo got hurt.
So we wait. And we try to figure out what happens tonight, by the way, as we continue talking NBA draft. We got to talk Cubs next, because the Cubs, first of all, made a roster move for Jody Imanaga, and I was pretty surprised as to who it was. So we'll discuss that part of it. But also, the way they responded after the Game 2 loss in St. Louis with a sound victory. We'll break it down next. This is Raheem and Harris on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Harris.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
It has been very great news to see you got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
First pitch to Ian Happ. Hit in the air, deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Back by the wall. Gone! Swinging a drive right center field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Kyle Tucker with a long ball. Bounced weakly to first. Fielded by Bush. Underhand feed to Hodge. Cubs win the ball game. The Chicago Cubs beat the St. Louis Cardinals.
Welcome back. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score. That was, of course, Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, Zach Zaidman coming to you from St. Louis. and the Cubs just with a whooping of the Cardinals. That's how you respond. Like, that's how you're able to come back after what happened in the first two games. And Ian Happ said on the first pitch, "What's up, Eric Fetty? I'm going to take this out of the yard." And then the Cubs proceeded to do so again and again and again. It was Reese McGuire. It was Ian Happ. It was also Ian Happ with the RBIs, by the way. It was Kyle Tucker chipping in with his 49th RBI of the season. Michael Busch with RBI number 45. Matt Schaub number 10. And the Cubs end up with an 8-0 win and now have a chance to at least split the series today on the score against the St. Louis Cardinals.
What's crazy is that before that, Ian Happ was 1-for-11 career against Eric Fetty. He wasn't trying to wait around to see what was going to happen. First pitch, I'm setting the tone. But more important than the fact that the Cubs jumped out to a lead, because scoring has not been much of an issue during this dark stretch in which they lost 5 out of 6 games. The thing that gave me peace and solace, and apparently eventually made Dustin William Rhodes bored watching this game.
I know, he said that this morning.
I was like, all right, Dustin, we get it.
You're garbage.
You're never going to be happy. The bottom of the first, because in the bottom of the first inning, I watched quickly as Matthew Boyd went out and said, oh, y'all been having issues with those shutdown innings? Watch this. 1, 2, 3, and on to the second.
Right.
And in the second inning, the Cubs scored 3 runs. And in the third inning, the Cubs tagged on another run. In the fourth inning, they scored 2 more runs. In the fifth inning, they scored another run. They scored in each of the first 5 innings. And every time they scored, Matthew Boyd went out there and said, nothing for you. Nothing for you.
And that's how you end up winning 8-0. And after losing 8-2 the previous day, I know that these are the games that Jed Hoyer, for example, says that's how you measure the success of your team is by these blowout wins. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, just because if we're watching every day, you can kind of see the moments where certain teams will struggle and where they won't. But that's the kind of game, again, if we're talking about thought process, which is the theme today, that's the kind of game which encourages him. You know, Kyle Tucker also getting in on the home run party the way he did. The heart of your lineup also doing work, except for Seiya Suzuki, but cool, because when everybody else has multi-hit games, you end up with 11. I know I said I loved Eric Fetty yesterday, by the way. I did love him for the Sox, and I thought that they should have gotten more in that trade. But I'm glad to see that at least he helped the Cubs out yesterday with that performance.
It's fine. It's fine. You know who else helped out the Cubs yesterday?
Yes.
The White Sox.
Yes.
Avoid the sweep. Just get a dub over Arizona. Get a dub over some of these teams. Sometimes just not getting swept is enough for the White Sox.
Are you kidding? That would be a .333 win percentage, which would be higher than they had had last season.
It would be, because last year was more like a .250. But this Cubs team, they had to have the dub, right? And as I'm watching Matthew Boyd go out there inning after inning, throwing 0 after 0, one thing rings true in my mind. I'm like, this guy really doesn't struggle much, does he? So I went to the game log, because I was like, I know I feel it, and I know he's pitched well lately, but I need to like actually take a look.
Let's
right?
look at the game log.
And so when I look at the game log, I see 16 starts after last night. The Cubs, they're only 8-8 in his starts, which isn't, anything to...
No, that's not ideal.
No, it's not. But when you look at his game log, you realize this man has made 16 starts, and only once has he given up more than 3 runs in any of those starts. And that start, he gave up 4 runs. That is the model of consistency that leads me to believe Matthew Boyd is the most consistent player on the Cubs roster, not named Drew Pomeranz. Because he hasn't given up a run, so
and you're not saying pitcher. You're saying
no. I'm saying player, most consistent player. You know what you're getting from a guy who is now 7-3 on the season, a 2.65 ERA, 82 strikeouts in 91 2/3 innings, only 21 walks, a nice crispy clean WHIP this season of 1.102.
That works.
And giving up 1 home run per 9 innings. I'm good with that.
Right, and as we saw with the contrast of Jameson Taillon yesterday, just how far and away the game can get from you when you give up those home runs, especially if there's a slight walk. And that's what happened. You know, there's only two walks issued, but when you've got guys on, that's how the runs add up. I feel like that's a very fair compliment. I asked the question in our pre-show meeting, and I think Matt Boyd has become, until we see what happens at a show, for example, today, he's the de facto stopper. It's not Jameson Taillon, even though we know he's done what he can, and we understand his role on this team. It's been Matt Boyd. What impresses me so much isn't just the renaissance that he has had. It's how he's been able to do it in these different ways. We talk a lot about pitchers learning how to pitch and not throw over the course of their careers. Matt Boyd famously was one of the strikeout leaders, you know, at the trade deadline in Major League Baseball in 2019. I know he attracted a lot of attention when he was with Detroit at the time. But you're seeing a different style now out of him and a different strategy, but one that is successful. So when I consider that and put it all together in this way where we saw what we saw out of him yesterday, where he goes six innings, gives up just three hits, and has those three strikeouts, you've got to like what you see. The no walks issued is just incredible, too. And the Cubs yesterday didn't issue a single walk as a pitching staff.
I know you're saying he's been de facto since the absence of Shota Imanaga, but...
And I guess fairly Justin Steele. You know, you have to factor Steele in, too.
No. To be clear, Imanaga is the stopper on the staff. They're only 5-3 in his starts this year, but that's just a smaller sample size. But since this man got to the Cubs, they're 28-9 in a game he starts. That is an immensely powerful record to have when a pitcher takes the mound.
Yeah, I'm also still... This was going to be a different season for me watching Shota, just because the league has developed more of a book on him, and we did see a little bit more of an aberration in the later part of last year. You know, he had a couple of stumbles, and we talked about those. Even just him walking four batters against the Dodgers. I know it's Japan, but these are just things you pay attention to when you're trying to pick up on patterns. That's all. That's all I'm trying to see. We know he's going to be limited today, too, in his work. That seems to be the understanding. You can hear that game coming up later today. We've got pregame with Zach Zaidman here on The Score starting at 12:40 as Shota returns to the mound. Pregame coverage is at that time. First pitch is at 1:15 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We get back to basketball talk. We still got a lot of texts coming in our text line and a lot of feedback. So who better to give that feedback to and shoot the breeze with, so to speak, than Joe Cowley, the Bulls beat reporter for the Sun-Times. He asked a lot of the questions we heard of Mark Eversley yesterday. He joins us next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.